Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gant, and for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs, and of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, that's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, and you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, Saturday, hope everybody had a great week. Hope everybody you're enjoying your Saturday right now, and I hope you are listening to me on blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. But I wanted to get started today in talking about Roger Clemens. Yes, Roger Clemens. Roger was recently indicted for essentially perjury, obstruction to Congress, 2 counts of perjury, 3 counts of making false statements, 15 counts in total he was indicted on. And so, I mean, Clemens, who appeared in front of the grand jury, appeared in front of Congress back in 2008, talking about he never used HGH, talking about he never used steroids, and all that other stuff. I mean, Roger basically just, well, my thing is, Roger, the evidence, there was a lot of evidence against you, man. And you didn't have to be there. You didn't even have to be there. But you chose to be there anyway. You didn't have to be there. You didn't have to appear in front of Congress. You didn't have to do it. But you chose to be there, Roger. And you went there, and you basically, and to many people, told some lies. To a lot of people, you told some lies. And to Congress and to the grand jury, you told some lies. That's what they think, you told lies, man. You told a lot of lies. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Are you that arrogant? Do you believe that, I mean, are you that arrogant? I mean, how arrogant can you be, Roger? How arrogant can you be? I mean, come on. Roger, come on. That's just stupid. El Stupido. That's your name, El Stupido. It's not Roger Clemens no more. You're El Stupido. How could you be that dumb to go in front of Congress, essentially volunteer to go in front of Congress, and tell Congress that you never took HGH or steroids? Are you that stupid? How dumb does it get? I mean, come on. How stupid can you be? How stupid can it be, Jeremy?
Well, I think the interesting thing is, I like the El Stupido comment, but I think the one thing when you look at these guys, in all due respect, and I know it's kind of off the cuff a little, but you got to really look at Canseco and say to yourself, when you call Clemens El Stupido, you got to call Canseco genius, though. Because
El genius.
You go in front of Congress, not only that, but, and you know this, Paul, I mean, unfortunately, rather than fix this country, we're gonna go and take these athletes out one by one, because that puts the pressure off these congressmen to make them believe that they're really doing something. And not only that, if you're a guy like, if you're going to, and history has shown us one thing, if you're going to lie that you didn't use it when they know you did, it just fuels the fire. I mean, if you can say you used it, you're going to get smacked on the hand, you're going to have to apologize in public, shed a tear, and move on. And that's been the status quo for every athlete in a genre of sports. But if you sit around and you say, well, you didn't do it, then the witch hunt begins.
And you look at Andy Pettit, the guy who was in the same situation. Andy appeared in front of Congress. Andy told the truth. He told them that he took it. And it is what it is. He apologized to everybody, and he moved on with his life. I mean, I think we all forgot about it at this point. I mean, in a lot of ways, that's all Clemens had to do, but it was...
You're going back to Andy Pettit, but let's go back to the most current, you know, scoundrel, and that's A-Rod. I mean, here's a guy that denied it for years, and then when the heat really got turned up, one last chance, he had to come out and say the truth, because when they're going to start a witch hunt, I think everybody knows it's just all it's going to happen for you is bad things. And here you have a guy, I think that Roger is smart in that he does recognize that basically it is a he said, she said. I think in the end of all of this, the biggest problem is going to be there really is no evidence. There's no real hardcore evidence.
You have Pettit's testimony, which are some are saying which would be key in hitting Roger. And also you have McNamee. I guess apparently Brian McNamee, Roger Clemens' trainer at the time where he allegedly took steroids and HGH. Apparently McNamee had gave Congress some syringes. You don't know how much that'll mean or what that means in terms of this. But it sounds like to me, I mean, it's hard to beat the feds. You can beat them, but it's hard to beat the feds. So it sounds like to me...
But there's no real, Paul, there's no real evidence. The evidence, listen, the evidence is mainly hearsay. And what, even if it is from a guy like Pettit who, you know, here again, like you said, he came out and said the truth, and McNamee may be a tainted witness, if you will. But again, I mean, I think that you have to remember, I'm sure Clemens' legal team will make it very well known to a real jury that, you know, this is little more than hearsay. That, sure, it can be a respectable guy like, you know, Pettit, who certainly admitted to using steroids, but unless they have physical evidence, unless they have documentable evidence, videotape evidence, unless they can produce, you know, some kind of blood, some blood tests or some urinalysis, it's going to be hard at the end of the day for any jury to convict them, not just because of the whole high-profile case, but because there will be no evidence. It will be whose story is more believable. And when you have million-dollar lawyers, and it doesn't matter that it's the feds, but these are million-dollar lawyers that are certainly going to legally – they're going to legally make it known, Paul, but the legalities of everything is, and, you know, may he rest in peace. Because probably one of the greatest Americans of all time, certainly one of the greatest mentors that I have ever known, you know, if the glove doesn't fit, Paul, you must have quit.
But I think the glove fits just perfectly fine here in this situation.
They have no evidence. They have just like in the O.J. case, there was no...
For the most part, though, when you're talking about the feds, they don't really bring a case to trial like this, or they don't bring a case unless they know they can win. And so the feds usually win 9 times out of 10. So with that being said, they must have something here.
Well, I can say the one thing that I would be I wouldn't say I'd be shocked, but I will be shocked at this, and I think it'll be more than you know, El Stupido, if he knows, and that's Clemens, because I do believe Clemens and his attorneys would know that there is some evidence out there. Because if there is any shred or any possibility of any evidence, the feds have it. Because I would agree with you, the feds know how to win a case like this. I mean, this is what they do for a living. And if you're Clemens, you certainly do not want to go up against that kind of indisputable evidence, certainly where your credibility is already shot, because as an athlete in this country, if you are, you know, if you're suspended from a current league, or if it's found out that there's even a possibility that you used any performance-enhancing supplement or drug, you're guilty way before you're proven innocent. I mean, most of these athletes now are trying to make people believe, you know, especially like in the NFL or in other sports, oh, that they were taking an over-the-counter supplement that they were totally unaware of, had any interaction or was on a banned substance list and this, that, and the other. And it's very difficult for these athletes to come out of and say they didn't know. And to me, if I'm Clemens, that's why I think you and I couldn't agree more. If I'm Clemens, I'm the first thing I'm apologizing and moving on. He's not in big. Look at McGuire. I mean, the guy of anybody who, you know, really everyone knew it. McGuire even has very little play, and he waited almost 5-6 years to admit. You know,
but McGuire wasn't stupid enough to go in front of Congress and lie about it.
Oh, I don't disagree, Paul.
I mean,
McGuire took the fifth. And McGuire took the fifth.
He was smart. I mean, Roger Clemens is essentially willing to go to jail to hide the truth, to just say, you know what, I did it. What you going to do about it?
But I think a lot of what it is, and we talk about this a lot, Paul.
Sorry. Let's move
but
on.
How big is his ego? You know what I mean? How big is his ego to recognize that he'd rather go to jail than have to admit, I mean, not just the truth, because he certainly doesn't see it as the truth. Clemens, in his mind, believes that it was his abilities that got him to the tops of these mountains, which in the beginning of his career, it certainly did. And, you know, whether, and I hate to say this, rarely will I say, you know, you have to give somebody the benefit of the doubt, but I have seen too many of these athletes sit there and you want to believe Rafael Palmeiro. You know, you want to believe Sammy Sosa. You want to believe Barry Bonds. You want to believe Alex Rodriguez. But the fact, you want to believe Lance Armstrong, and he's going to be the next one. Lance is going to be the next one. Lance and Roger Clemens are going to be cellmates, and they should be.
Paul,
but you know, and it is all allegedly, you have to be semantical, but the bottom line is, these guys, for them to be the only, Clemens in his sport, to be the one guy in that era where he fit that prototype, he was on the downslide of his career, and then comes back and plays at a phenomenal level when it was just, and it wasn't phenomenal, it was actually superhuman. And then, of course, Lance Armstrong, I mean, basically redefined an entire sport. I mean, made it so anti-competitive for his 5 or 6 straight runs there. It wasn't even a competitive sport. It was not even dominant. He was the only contender by a mile. And I think, again, with Bonds and Sosa and McGuire, and, you know, you looked at the people of that era that were on these drugs. They made it another sport. It was a sport of freaks. It was, you know, either you used and you became superhuman, or you hit 40 home runs a year or 35 home runs a year. Either you were hitting 70 or 40. There was no middle.
No, I mean, he defied a lot of things. I mean, he defied nature in a lot of ways, and I guess and looking back at it, I mean, the only way you can defy nature sometimes is with a little help. And maybe that little help was a little HGH, or maybe it was a little steroids, or whatever, what have you. But obviously he defied nature, defied gravity on some level, and defied everything. And now it's coming out that maybe he didn't defy nothing. All he did was just had a little help along the way to do what he may have done, to do what he did in terms of the numbers that he put up at the last.
And continuing the argument of, you know, how valuable are these records that these athletes and these standards that these athletes put up, and, you know, it's kind of sad because you have now – even, you know, A-Rod, who hits 600 home runs and certainly if anyone has a chance to break even more records, it's definitely him. And then you see the retirement this year of Ken Griffey Jr., who, you know, in that era goes through so many injuries, and you have to wonder, I guess there was the break in the chain where there was a player, there was a guy who really, of that entire era and that entire class of athlete, who decided that, you know, he was not going to allow his individual issues inside of a team sport supersede the game, and where every other player pretty much in that era in his caliber of play said, well, no, what you should do is shoot up and you'll be back on the field in no time, and not only will you be back on the field, you'll be back better than ever. And I mean,
well, and also you have to look at this in terms of that. I mean, we talk about, and it's been a lot of talk about this whole steroid era and whether or not some of these guys should be allowed in the Hall of Fame, Clemens, the Bonds, and the A-Rods of the world. And I kind of say yes, because those guys, everybody was cheating during that time. Those guys happened to be the best of all the cheaters. So if everybody cheated, and everybody and the whole world knew that everybody was cheating, but these guys were the best at cheating, these guys should be the ones who get in the Hall of Fame. I still think they should get in.
Well, they have to get in, but the interesting thing is going to be contextually, and I think what's interesting is, especially for the major sport of baseball, what they actually were able to do, and I don't think they can appreciate this, or people will appreciate it for years now, is they've made records in baseball pretty much meaningless. Because, I mean, the ones that they broke without merit, and they not only broke them, they crushed them. So they're pretty – unless you're able – to either add more games or go back into another steroid era, it's very, you know, very obvious that no one's going to hit 73 home runs in a year unless they use performance-enhancing drugs or they can somehow find a way to put more than 163, you know, two games or 61 games into a season. So you'll see fans in baseball will no longer, and they don't worry about, you know, anymore how many home runs a guy hits or how many RBIs they hit, because that's thanks to McGuire and to Bonds, to Sosa, and in terms of for Clemens and for pitchers, I think, you know, the sad part is for Pettit and for Clemens, I mean, all they really did is just totally ruin their legacy. Clemens, I mean, was a Hall of Fame pitcher before he ever had to use steroids. You know, Pettit, I think it could have gone either way for him. It will be interesting to see what happens with Andy Pettit.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer anyway. But
well, there was probably an argument, but you have to remember, Paul, had he not been accused of steroids, he was a pretty good and dominant player, and that's why I say it would have been interesting to see what would have happened to a guy like him had his name and reputation not gone through the trials and tribulations it had to. But that's why it will be interesting. There have to be some of these guys, they have to go in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Mark McGuire, Barry Bonds, if they don't go into the Hall of Fame, then really you might as well take their records off the books. And so that's why it's certainly a double-edged sword for these athletes and then their sport, because to let them hold the record for most home runs but not allow them into the Hall of Fame, it's kind of ridiculous. He'd be the only player in any.
It's you're right. I mean, it's just
when you hold these major records, when you're the top 10 in any major record, and you're not in the Hall of Fame, and you're not Pete Rose, then there's a massive problem. And I mean, Pete Rose is a guy who, again, we could spend hours debating on. Here's a guy that never cheated. I mean, didn't cheat the game. He never, you know, never cheated the game. He cheated himself. Now, he maybe brought, bad publicity to the game, but he didn't change outcomes, you know, illegally. The way that Barry Bonds does, and Barry Bonds is the first ballot Hall of Famer, but you'll see what will happen. I think for spite, they'll probably put him on second or third ballot just to show the guy that they don't agree with him being in there. And what's interesting if they don't agree with him being in there, then they should have done the right thing, and they should do the right thing, which is strike all of their accomplishments from the record books, and basically say that we don't believe that any home run that you ever hit in your entire career will matter for professional baseball, and just strike them all from all of the lists. If you've ever been, if they did it, Paul, you know what they do is they would bring instant, in my opinion, they'd bring instantaneous respect to professional sports, and they would show, as Major League Baseball, certainly as the one sport out of all of them that had the most troubles, could instantaneously show its fans, you know what, we apologize. We can't go back and change what happened in that era, but we're certainly not going to let history or the future be guided or be taught that that was acceptable. Because at a small level, by not dealing with something, you're showing that it's acceptable behavior. If you don't come out against it...
Well, in a lot of ways, Major League Baseball they gave a blind eye to it. I mean, the whole summer of Sosa and McGuire, baseball needed that shot in the arm, and they got it. I mean, Sosa and McGuire, they were all over the news, all over the headlines. They broke Maris's record, McGuire did, and shattered it, actually. And it was all over the headlines. Everybody knew what was going on. It was a part of the culture, and everybody knew. It was just one of those things, well, let's just be quiet, let's shut up, and whatever happens, happens. And, you know, ultimately baseball made a comeback because of McGuire and Sosa. So, I mean, you don't want to bite the hand that's feeding you, and that essentially what will happen. That's what would happen if baseball would have came out on those guys or on steroids at the time. But in reality, we all knew what was going on with those guys.
And that's why it's interesting. In a league that, in its history, the one major player, you know, if you look at Pete Rose and a guy who arguably was so branded by his sport that they banished him from, you know, the Hall of Fame, and they really, you know, by doing that, they came out and they were the first league to ever come out and say, you know, unacceptable illegal behaviors will have major consequences on your, you know, your legacies. And to do that to one player and then not for an entire group of players that are so easily, in my opinion, it's so easy to deal with that issue and say, look, if you've used a performance-enhancing drug at any point in time in your career is exempt from having any statistical referencing. It doesn't negate the fact.
But I don't think they should do something like that.
Paul, but then what they should do is say to Pete Rose, you know what, then we have to let you in the Hall of Fame.
The situation is different in some respect because he, you know, in terms of gambling on the sport, I mean, that really is bad for any type of sport. I mean, you're making a mockery out of a game. I mean, let's
say but shooting a drug in your body that, Paul, come on.
But that's different. It's different. It's different.
No, I'm not saying, look, shooting, it's doing steroids and betting on sports is obviously different. But the end result is you got one guy who said you're never going to be a part of our sport again. Then you have an entire group of other people who basically were, Paul, please understand, numbers are retired, they held celebratory events. And in short order, will be elected into Hall of Fame. I mean, do you not remember when McGuire and Bonds were breaking these home run records, the spectacles that were happening?
I do remember that. And,
Paul,
everyone knew
during that time. During the spectacle, everyone knew that they were using the drug. And not only that, within short order, they were in front of Capitol Hill. Half of them pled the fifth. The others were idiots, and actually, like Rafael Palmeira, who I'll never forget, said he never used steroids, to come out less than a year later to admit it. I mean, you have to remember, if you context all of this, they, Paul, too, gambling is illegal, and that was really why the punishment on Rose came down so hard, because criminally...
It should be, because in a lot of ways, if you're gambling on your sport, and you're a manager of a ball club, and you're gambling, I mean, you could, let's say, okay, oh, let me put this relief pitcher in here because I thought that my team would lose tonight. So let me bet on this. Let me put this relief pitcher in here so I know he'll give up a lot of runs and we'll end up losing. Or, you know what I mean, let me sit this guy tonight because I bet against my team, and so I want them to lose. You're basically making a mockery of the game.
But shooting a drug in your body, but shooting a drug in your body, Paul,
that you... Look at that. You're putting a drug in your body. You're in a lot of ways. You're doing a favor and a service to MLB because you're jacking home runs left and right. You're bringing recognition and name to you're bringing recognition to your product. Hey,
but you're winning, Paul. Barry Bonds.
Entertainment. This is
Schilling, but Paul, Schilling and the Red Sox were able to win a World Series because, you know, I'll call them junkies because that's really what they, all the junkies that were in that sport.
Alleged junkies.
No, there's no alleged junkies. Mark McGwire was a junkie, Paul, right? He admitted to using a drug and using a drug repetitively.
So I'm labeling Mark McGwire
junkie number one. And Mark McGwire was, they were in playoffs. You know, these got playoff runs. You have to remember, Paul, championships were won. Many a championship was won with a junkie on the team. So I find it hard to believe to say it's appropriate that you could win a World Series, you know, pennant was on the Yankees. And you know that he was winning games because he had an illegal competitive advantage, no different than, like you said, Pete Rose saying, let me throw in the bad reliever so somebody could either win the game or lose the game.
It's totally different.
No, it's not, Paul.
It's totally different.
Okay.
It's totally different. I mean, those guys are still going out to try to win baseball games for their team. Now, Pete Rose didn't
say
that.
But, Paul, they have a competitive advantage.
But we don't even know how true that is.
They have a competitive advantage. They have a competitive. You're going to sit there and say a guy that uses steroids doesn't have a competitive advantage?
I'm not saying the guy doesn't have a competitive advantage.
Petty used the steroids in his own admittance, Paul. But in his own admittance,
cheating, then he's just.
But everybody wasn't cheating.
He happens to be better than everybody else at cheating.
Everybody wasn't cheating. Everybody wasn't cheating, though, Paul. You know that. Everybody wasn't cheating. Just. Paul,
well,
really, you were cheating.
A lot of people were. Everybody wasn't, but there were a lot of people that were.
But a lot of people isn't everybody. And remember, Paul, some of the guys like Pettit who cheated, he cheated to come back. The majority of what they started using the drug for, but they kept using it, what they started using it for, if you remember, was to come back from injuries. Some of these players, Paul, if they really had to do it the right way, some of their injuries probably either would have ended their career early, and it would have definitely been Pettit, or severely impacted their ability to be, you know, as competitive as they were. You have to remember, when you suffer the kind of shoulder and elbow injury Pettit had, most of those players in that era that had it and didn't use steroids weren't coming back. He was using steroids. It only aided in his rehabilitation, and he kept using it when he came back. I think when you recognize that, so here's a guy who was not supposed to be on that team, it's no different than his coach saying or a manager saying, well, you go in now because I am going to run the odds here. I'm going to do what's best for the numbers. It's no different than Pettit saying, I'm not supposed to be on this team, but I took a drug that allowed me to be on that team.
I think at the end of the day,
if baseball and all of these sports, look at you know, cycling with Lance Armstrong, and you know, for better or worse, you know, the NFL has you know, had its share of this stuff, and I think
had Sean Merriman recently.
Right. I think they really do need baseball especially because obviously, of all the major sports, baseball has had, there's been a dramatic impact. But there really should be, in my opinion, some level, Paul, that they should have at least, this is my opinion, I think it's hard for me to understand how you can put these people on this pedestal, but then have PSAs and, you know, youth education about the negative aspects of steroids when you as a league have yet to address what was so negative about it for baseball. That they are glorifying it, Paul, by not saying that
well,
they have
they're trying, to, they're trying to take some steps. I mean, the minor leagues.
No, they're not. It's what they are doing, Paul. What they're doing.
In the minor leagues, they're testing for HGH. They're making.
Come
some,
on.
Hey, they're making some steps, but hey, let's be honest. Let's be honest. They set up a culture for this to thrive, and it thrived, and everybody got big and strong off of it. We got bigger, stronger, faster guys, and we got home runs that were hit 400 or 500 feet, and people hitting 70, 60, 70 home runs, and people shattering home run records, power numbers off the charts. And the reality is it came from a culture that baseball supported. So, and also, ultimately, the big question here with this whole Clemens situation is, and I want to ask the callers this, is would you go to jail to hide the truth? Would you go to jail to hide the truth? And that's essentially what Roger Clemens may be doing, going to jail just to hide the truth. And that, it don't get no dumber than that. It doesn't get any dumber than that. El Stupido. El Stupido is what I'm going to call Roger Clemens now. That's what he is. It doesn't get any dumber than that. Numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. Or you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. I want to switch gears now. Last night, only preseason contest going on last night. Bengals, Eagles, T.O., Ocho, together. Bengals did win the football game 22-9, but one thing that really caught my eye was T.O. I mean, some people may have said he lost a step or he's losing steps, but that 43-yard pass that I saw yesterday, he just ran by Yoselio Hanson. He just ran by the guy. So anybody that has said or saying that this guy may have lost a step, I don't know. Not after what I saw last night.
Well, what should have caught your eye as well, though, Paul, is the fact that, you know, you better start saving up some money because Cobb looked pretty damn good. I mean, he looked ham.
He
looked finger-licking good. I mean, well, you know what, but again, and it was certainly not because of him. And that's why I told you, I think one of the big problems I think Eagle fans are going to have to reconcile this year is that, again, this is a team without a strong running attack, and I told you, Paul, I don't disagree. They're going to miss McNabb more than Eagle fans want to admit, because you're not going to have McNabb's experience in the red zone, and when you don't have a strong running game and you can't, you know, and you're at the 7-yard line, you got that ball when Selleck had that ball down there, made that catch. That has to be a touchdown, and even in the preseason. But they don't have the horses to get that in there. And I think, you know, that is the Andy Reid legacy, in my opinion. His total, absolute unwillingness to bring him a running back, especially in the offseason, especially where they trade McNabb to the Redskins, who have a stable, you know, bring over Larry Johnson or bring over a Clinton.
They tried to bring in Mike Bell. They tried to bring in other guys to help their situation. But at the end of the day, I mean, the same issue that they struggled with last year is the same issue they're struggling with in preseason. So hopefully if you're an Eagle fan, they'll sort that out. But we are now being joined by former Arizona Cardinals safety Kwame Lassiter. Kwame? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Are you talking to me?
There we go.
Yeah. Kwame?
No, this is not Kwame.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you clicked me in. This your main man. You know, I don't want to hear no football talk, man. Let's talk Clippers basketball, baby.
Uh-oh, Clippers.
You know what? Hey, Paul, it's never too early to talk basketball.
Well, Clipper Darrell, go ahead. Talk a little basketball. I mean, you're excited about Baron Davis and Blake Griffin. You're excited about these Clippers right now.
I'm very excited, man. You know, I was with Darren, man. I was in a celebrity kickball game, and he looks very healthy. I've seen Blake. Blake looks good. He's 100% right now, and I feel it's going to be a good season. I'm predicting 4th seed, 55 wins.
55 wins, Clipper Dow.
Yeah.
Clipper Dow, I know you're a church-going man, but Clipper Dow, are you dipping and diving in some wine here, Clipper Dow?
Never, man.
55 wins?
Paul, no way, Paul. What? How are you? You're really not going to, yeah, at some level. I think 65 might be a little high, but certainly this is a team certainly that when and if they're healthy, they have very young talent, and especially in the West, which has, you know, the Lakers are still the predominant team, but the other seeds every year are up in the air. Suns ain't getting any younger.
Some teams have taken hits. Phoenix has taken a hit by losing Amari, so that's another team out the way.
San Antonio, Paul, continues every year to get older. Every year will battle through major injuries. The biggest rival they're going to face is Portland. Portland is the youngest, most talented team out West, and you know, and certainly the Clippers. If Griffin comes out and plays well, they will be a force that I don't think any team in the West will have really had a chance to really, you know, view and say, oh, well, we knew that we were going to have that kind of player out there.
Well, hold on. Let's go to Clipper Darrell. 55 wins. How's this going to happen, sir?
We got a new uniform, new coach, and a whole new attitude. That's how it's going to happen. You know.
Well, I hope it's not the uniform.
Hey, man, the uniform off the chain, man. I love the new unis. I love the new unis. It's a new
look.
You're
going to
blind them? Feel. You know, oh, no, it's not going to be blinding, you know. But it's like a whole new feel. It's like now you're like saying, okay, I'm a part of a team. I'm a part of a new era. Let's forget about the past and let's look forward to the future right now. And let's see where Vinny Del Negro could take us.
Vinny Del Negro did a decent job in Chicago. I'll definitely give you that. He led them to the playoffs in 2 seasons. So he did a fairly decent job. Now,
yeah.
I think if Blake Griffin is what Blake Griffin could be and what many think he could be, then, you know, the playoffs are definitely not out of the realm of possibility. And if Baron Davis balls like he has in the past, and he's in a new system now, so things could get better for him.
Most definitely, man. I mean, before, you know, after the season ended, man, I used to wake up depressed, get understanding, man. But being around these guys in the last few weeks, man, it's been beautiful, man. And to see them working hard and seeing the organization trying to change, you know, to make new, let's do this, man. I think the Clippers are back, baby, in full effect.
Well, so they're back in full effect. 55 wins, Clipper now?
55 wins.
So that's 55,
you say that, but Paul, you say that as if, listen, if he's off by even 7 wins, I think that, and again, that 45, 47, 48 wins puts them in certainly playoff position. I think to a certain level, 55, it may be a bit astounding off of the year that they may have had, but remember, like you said, the West is a definitive, this is going to be a transition year. Aside from the Lakers, who you know, certainly, it's good. They were unchanged. Phoenix was decimated by the loss of Stoudemire, and I think San Antonio, they just continue to get older. There's no real replacement out there. I said, you know, Portland is, I think, definitely one of the more up and coming teams out there. But the Clippers, for years, Paul, they've underachieved for years. If you really want to be honest, and this could be a year for them where Clipper Dow wants to believe it's going to be the uniforms. I want to believe they got a top-flight coach. I mean, Del Negro was a huge, in my opinion, that shows that they really do want to win. Chicago, to let him go over personality conflicts may not have been the smartest move because all he did for them, Ball, was make a quick winner out of them.
Mm-hmm. But I see teams like Houston who has improved. Yeah, will come back. They added Kevin Martin, Brad Miller in the offseason. They re-signed.
Yao May come back, Paul. Yao May come back.
Dallas
now will.
Should be back. Dallas, I think, is going to be strong. You got Oklahoma City, who's definitely going to be strong. And, of course, you got the Lakers, who are going to be strong. And you got the Spurs, who I'm not ready to throw them away yet. But Clippers, though, I mean, how you saw Baron Davis. What kind of shape is he in? Is he really in that great of shape?
Yeah, he looks good, man. He lost weight. I mean, he looks so good and energetic and ready. You know what I'm saying? He's excited about the new season. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like the Baron Davis of old. You know, he got his number back. You know, he's not going to sport the one. He's sporting the five again. So you know where they retired his number at Crossroads. Now you know it's like a good feeling for him. He got a whole new attitude. You know what I'm saying? A new coach with a new attitude, baby. The Clippers. Playoffs, baby, 2011. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed? Oh, you hear it here first. Clipperdale, August 21st, 2010. Clipperdale, the greatest Clipper fan of all time, has guaranteed that the Clippers will go to the playoffs. Are you guaranteed 55 wins, too?
I won't guarantee that. I guarantee a playoff berth, though.
Okay, you guarantee a playoff berth, but you won't give me those 55 wins.
Yeah, 55 wins. We could go in between 50 and 55, somewhere up in there. You know,
well,
I might be off.
Clipper Dow, you're one of the greatest Clipper fans of all time. Do you want to take a question from the audience?
Yeah, it, no problem.
All right, well, we got Clipper Dow on the line, the greatest Clipper fan of all time in my mind. And this is the greatest Clipper fan of all time. It's Clipper Dow. If you want to talk to the greatest Clipper fan of all time, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. So make sure you get on and talk to my man Clipper Darrell. And maybe you'll tell Clipper Darrell he's a genius for saying that the Clippers will win 55 games, or maybe you won't. Maybe you won't. But it should be interesting to see what the people have to say to the one and only Clipper Darryl. Hello, you're on with Clipper Darryl.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I can't see them winning 45 games, nonetheless, 55 games. What are you guys doing out there out west that makes you think they're going to win 5 games?
Okay, first of all, okay, Blake Griffin, Baron Davis, Eric Gordon, baby, Chris Kaman, and DeAndre Jordan. All right.
The only response I had to that is it sounds good. It sounds good, but that's about it.
Oh,
it sounds really good.
Believe me, these guys are ready to come back, man. With a new coach, new GM. I mean, come on now,
new uniforms, Clipper. New uniforms.
The uniforms must do it.
No. I just feel like it's about to change. You know what I'm saying? When you get rid of the old and come with the new, you know, not even the uniform. It's the new. It's coming from an old coach to a new coach. It's coming from an old GM to a new GM. Come on now. I feel change in this building, man. I'm feeling it in my hands. I'm feeling it in my feet, baby. The Clippers are back, baby. I can feel the playoffs, baby.
You know what, Clipper? After talking to you. You know what? Clippers will win 55 games, too. I believe it.
Paul, it sounds too much like the Holy Ghost is in here. Come on. Come back down to earth.
He's got me.
It's the NBA, baby.
What do you want me to do?
It's fantastic.
He's got me. I believe him. 55 games. I believe him. Clipper Darryl, we're going to take another call with you.
No problem, man.
Hello, you're on with Clipper Darryl.
Hello?
Hello?
You must have forced him to the side of the road, Clipper.
I don't know what's going on. You
forced him to, you know.
You're on with Clipper Darryl.
He must be a Lakers fan.
Well, I think he might have had some issues. Well, Clifford Town, okay. You're a guy that we enjoy you on the show. We love to have you back all the time, sir. Clifford Town, before you go, can we get a Let's Go Clippers chant?
Let's go Clippers, let's go. Let's go Clippers, let's go. When I say L.A., you say Clippers. L.A., Clippers, L.A., Clippers. Here we go, Clippers, here we go. I love y'all, man.
Take care.
Music to my ears.
I don't have to go to church. Now, we don't have to go to church tomorrow, Paul.
I won't be at church tomorrow. And
Clipper Town saved me a visit. Yeah, with two young ones, we don't have to necessarily go now. This is like right going right into church.
Oh, no, you still got to go to church tomorrow, man. You got to give the Lord his time.
Clipper Town, thank you for that, sir. You're very true. You definitely got to give him his time, and we definitely appreciate your time, sir, coming on and talking to us.
Anytime, man, anytime.
Appreciate it. Take care, sir.
You take care now.
You know what, Paul? Every once in a while, it's always good to have, like, to be so, to, you know, to expect one thing and you get another.
It was great to hear Clipper Down. His enthusiasm is infectious. I mean, I think I caught Clipper Flu here. In the middle of the summer, I think I have caught Clipper Flu.
I'm gonna call you in a Z-Pack, Paul. Let's get this under control.
I got Clipper Flu. I got it. I mean, he's infectious, man. He's talking about the new uniforms. And sometimes, hey, when you change the clothes, sometimes if you look better, you feel better. If you feel better, sometimes you play a little better. At least that's what they say.
Boy, it'll be at the CVS, Paul, ready for pickup.
Well, I caught it. I don't know about you, but I caught Clipper Flu.
Oh, I'm sure it's not the first thing you're going to catch. It certainly won't be the last.
It was definitely good to talk to Clipper now. It's been a long time. He tried to give his pitch to LeBron James in the summer. It didn't work. Didn't work for a lot of people. But, you know, his enthusiasm is great. His enthusiasm is great. And so it was really good to get him on and get his thoughts on the Clippers in this upcoming season. I mean, he is the greatest Clipper fan. And some say one of the greatest fans in America, quite frankly. Would you agree with that, Jeremy?
Well, a lot of people, and we have him on once, and I'm sure next time we bring him on, we should get him again to remind people of his, certainly his accomplishments. He's not exactly one of these guys that, you know, that wear shoulder pads to games, and he's been with the team and certainly is a big part of what the organization tries to accentuate in the community. And
he's certainly an interesting, in terms of sports fans, you know, doesn't embarrass, if you will, the image of a team. I think he very interesting guy. Surprised, I told you, I think the Clippers are going to do very well this year. Surprised to hear how well Clipper Darrell thinks they're going to do. But, you know, with a name like that, I guess, why should we be?
Exactly. Exactly.
And then again, Paul, here we go. We have you ready to jump off the cliff.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to do? When a guy comes in here with that type of enthusiasm, I mean, it's infectious. I call Clipper Flu. I feel like my temperature's rising. I got the shakes right now. And I think it's all because of what I just experienced a few minutes ago with the great Clipper Darrell.
Okay, Paul.
Before Clipper Darrell called in, we were talking about the Eagle game last night. And Eagles-Bengals last night. I was pretty excited. Not necessarily excited, but when I saw T.O. run by Yoselio Hanson, I saw a guy with a lot of speed and still some speed. And T.O. still got some game left in him. And so anybody...
Oh, yeah. I mean, Paul, I told you, I thought that he's going to have a stellar year. I told you, I think there's probably... This is a 75, catch year for him if he can certainly play his cards right, stay healthy. And
he looked phenomenal last night. I mean, the Eagles defense looked certainly like they got a lot of work to do, but T.O. looked great.
Well, the defense, I thought, wasn't too bad. I mean, they forced two turnovers last night. Quentin Michael got a pick, and Dimitri Patterson also got a pick last night. They were fairly aggressive, and, I mean, it was a half a football, but they limited Cincinnati to one touchdown in that half, and the starters were playing for that full half. So, I mean, they were on par with the Bengals last night, and I thought they played them fairly evenly in that first half when the starters came in. But once the second unit came in, I mean, Michael Vick didn't look too great, but Michael Vick didn't have a lot of time last night. Definitely didn't have no time. It was a jailbreak.
Well, but you're gonna get this with Vick, these ups and downs. I mean, he is, again,
But you're also going to get it when it's a jailbreak. And we don't have a chance to set up. It's a jailbreak. I mean, I saw one of those plays where the line just collapsed. It was a jailbreak last night.
Yeah.
But, I mean, granted, it's the second unit, and a lot of those guys won't be playing anyway. And thank goodness for that.
Well,
but, I mean, also, and then looking at the Bengals last night, I really like that tight end Grisham.
You heard it from their top scout. Chad is their, I always say, certainly is their number one scout. He I give him a lot of credit. I think, you know, what he said this off season is very true. They're, from an offensive perspective, Paul, they have many upgrades, and the NFL will certainly need to be able to reconcile. You know, can they now compete with the Bengals team that has a lot of weapons?
And we talk about Owens and Ocho Cinco, but we haven't even talked about Carson Palmer and Cedric Benson, Shipley, the impressive guy out there, wide out, and also the wide receiver Bryan, he's still out.
Antonio Bryan.
Not Dez Bryan, but the other Antonio Bryan, he's still out. So you have some weapons there in Cincinnati. If you take out Chad and T.O., you still got some weapons there. So this is a team that, and defensively they have some two solid corners. And, you know, this is a team that may be in line for a Super Bowl berth.
Well, if T.O. plays like that, Paul, I mean, I don't see how the majority of teams in the NFL match up against them.
Well, it's going to be one of those guys is going to get single covered. And so one of those guys is going to do some things. And I think both of them are going to be poised to have breakout years. And, I mean, if you're Carson Palmer, I mean, you got everything on there. You got a running game in Cedric Benson. And you got a great group of wideouts with Shipley, Antonio Bryan, Owens and Ocho Cinco, of course. And you got the tight end Jermaine Gresham. I mean, you got a lot of weapons at your disposal there. And so if you're Carson Palmer, I mean, you're like a pig and poop pretty much, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, again, they showed and they're showing that offensively I don't think there's going to be issues. They made it look easy last night when the starters were in against a pretty supposedly, you know, solid defense here for the Eagles, or that's what you're hearing in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Eagles defense played okay last night. I mean, they only allowed one touchdown in one half. And so I thought, and they created, caused two turnovers. And they were hitting hard out there. I mean, they had Chad on Career Street, looked like, for a couple minutes there after that big hit. And then Nate Allen looked pretty impressive last night as well. But again, like you said, it's only preseason football, and you can only take so much. What you see is what you see, and, you know, you can only take so much from it in a lot of ways. But Kevin Cobb, your boy Kevin Cobb, I should say, and I will be saying that quite often, your boy Kevin Cobb was 11 for 17, 126 yards, but couldn't get the ball in the end zone.
Now, he couldn't get the ball in the end zone, or the team couldn't get the ball in the end zone, Paul.
What's that?
I said he couldn't get the ball in the end zone, or the team couldn't.
Well, ultimately, he's the quarterback, and as the quarterback,
but I think to label him, I think what you're doing though is
you're setting this guy up to fail before he's been given a chance. He played really well, Paul. If you want to look at it, I mean, 11 for 17. Again, it's his second game of the preseason, and his numbers are off the chain. No interceptions, no real mistakes, but not getting the ball in the end zone. Is it really that? Is it really? In the preseason, was that him, or was that, again, indignation of this Andy Reid? Between the 20s, this has been a problem that has been historic for Reid and the history of...
It was a big problem last year. It was a big problem. Some people say they need a bigger big wide receivers who can help in that area. But again, I mean... Like you said, and like it's still preseason football, and but David Akers is kicking too many field goals for my liking. A lot of field goals being kicked by David Akers, and it's too many. It's a one too many, and field goals, hey, they're points, but again, it's not always a great thing if you're kicking more field goals than you need to be, and they're kicking way too many field goals right now, and they're way too many field goals. You want them to correct that, because if you're going to be successful in this league, you got to get the ball into the end zone if you want to be successful. I mean, David Akers had five field goals against the Jaguars, and he came back with three last night. So he's a little too busy for my liking. But hopefully the Eagles and Andy Reid will take care of that when the season starts, and hopefully they will be successful. Hopefully. But again, we'll have to see what happens with that whole situation. But again, that Bengal team is going to may turn some heads this year. They may turn some heads this year with T.O. and Ocho and those boys. And if also you look at it, Brett Favre will be starting on Sunday. According to reports, he will be starting against the 49ers on Sunday. So we'll get to see Favre right away pretty much. And we'll see how much game he's got left. We'll see what all the hype is all about.
Well, I think that these games for him is just like a joke. It's not even. Don't worry about what you're going to see. You're not going to see anything the week one with him. And
I guess the guy who just wants to get out there, get some snaps under his belt, and get comfortable with some things. And slowly but surely, just knock off the rust, knock off the rust till he is ready to go 100% back. But, I mean, Percy Harvin, their star wideout, has returned after a migraine scare a few days ago. He actually had to be ambulanced away and taken to a hospital. But he seems to be okay, and hopefully the migraines won't hinder his career and won't hurt him. And you hope for the guy that everything will work out for him in that particular situation. Quickly, just going around, want to move the baseball real quickly. The Philadelphia Phillies are making a run at it, and they lead the wild card now, one game over the Giants, and they're playing some great baseball. Ryan Howard will be back on Monday. Utley's back and got a great pitching performance last night from Roy Halladay, and they beat the Nationals 1-0 last night. They're 2.5 behind the Braves and one up on the Giants for the wild card lead. So it should be interesting how that settles and what happens there.
We're gonna certainly gonna be spending a lot more time now that I think that the real baseball season begins and now you're gonna start to see what is a veteran and certainly a talented Philadelphia team start to position themselves there. They have secured at least something for the playoffs, and I think they're going to continue to climb, climb the ladder.
Without a doubt.
So we had Clipper Darrell on, excited for new uniforms. One of us doesn't need to go to church tomorrow. One of us is still going.
I still won't be there. Clipper Darrell definitely was good to see him again. hear his voice. And it was good to talk to you for football. Roger Clemens, El Stupido. Please, please, Roger. Please, please, Roger. Tell the truth. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Thank everybody for listening. Take care.